Viewpoints on the talk station, FM 107, AM 1240. All right, what's happening with our legislative actions? We've got at least 6 more weeks of winter, according to Punxsutawney Phil. Might we get things warmed up with a little political activity? We'll find out from our guest, Chris Hayes, political and legislative analyst with the Civitas Institute. And what say you, Chris? And by the way, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Good afternoon, Lockwood.
What say you? Will we be having a lot more in the sense of hot topics coming up?
It looks like it. They're starting to file some bills that getting a little controversial with some things. So it looks like the General Assembly is going to dive into it. Most people thought that, you know, the big budget shortfall was going to fill most of their time, but, you know, idle hands until they get their budget out will lead them to do some other things.
Well, that being said, of course, you did a recent poll, and my question for you on the poll is, does it show that there's a new awareness out there from the perspective of the voters, or are we looking at a continuation of the love affair that occurred during the election?
It looks like they're giving President Obama and the Democrats a pretty good honeymoon now. Voters trust the Democrats on just about every issue to facing North Carolina, from taxes to health care to education to the economy to improving roads. They're very favorable of his job so far, very favorable of Governor Perdue. So it looks like this kind of honeymoon period, this euphoria from the inauguration, the voters out there in North Carolina seem to be saying, okay, you've won. We put you in charge. Let's see what you can do. So they're kind of sitting back saying, all right, prove it to us now.
Now, is it prove it to us with a starry-eyed expectation, or is it a prove it to us with a kind of a cynical, if not skeptical, let's make it skeptical approach?
I call it a guarded optimism, where people, they want the best. We want the state to succeed. We want the economy to turn around. But, you know, people are kind of hanging back they're saying, okay, you know, the voters have put you in charge. They kind of want to see results. They want to see all that's been promised by the Democrats in getting elected. You know, they control everything just about, you know, president, Congress, governor, General Assembly. So they want to see some results. And they're kind of sitting back and saying, all right, you're in charge now. Prove it to us.
All right. Here's an interesting poll that you took recently. And I'm going to read a question, number 12, which really fascinated me. I'm going to go down this lower echelon of the questions here. For each of the following, please tell me which party in North Carolina, Democrat, Republican, will do a better job on each issue in the upcoming session of the General Assembly, holding taxes down. And 45% of the respondents say Democrat, while 34% say Republican. Am I missing something here?
That was a pretty surprising result to me, that, you know, if there was one thing that you thought the Republican Party would always be known for and always stand for, was, you know, being opposed to taxes, holding down taxes. But what you see here is some of this optimism for the Democrats, and also, you know, Obama campaigned on a tax cut. You know, the majority of Americans, according to him, were going to get a tax cut, and he was going to cut taxes. So he ran on that, and that's where you're seeing people expecting results out of this.
All right, it's good. There's some more issues here. And folks, by the way, for those just joining us, our guest is Chris Hayes, political and legislative policy analyst with the Civitas Institute, nccivitas.org. That's nccivitas.org. And Chris, looking at this, for each of the following, please tell me which party in North Carolina, Democrat or Republican, will do a better job. You've just informed us, according to the poll, Democrats will do a better job at holding down taxes than Republicans, making health care more affordable. And frankly, I was not surprised by that. 65% Democrat, 18% Republican. That didn't really surprise me. You?
No, that's traditionally, healthcare is thought of as a Democratic issue because they are promising the world. You know,
right.
When it's a lot easier to explain to somebody that, hey, we're just going to take care of you. Don't worry about healthcare, where the government's going to run it, as most of the Democrats have. Then the Republican position in trying to explain markets and health savings accounts and getting people more responsible for what they're spending. And part of that is the Republicans need to come up with a better message on what it is for healthcare reform.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of this is messaging. Democrats have an easy answer. We're going to make healthcare more affordable. portal. Government, you know, government's going to step in. Those big bad drug companies and those evil people trying to bilk granny out of, you know, paying for her health care. The Democrats are going to solve everything, and the Republicans have kind of lost their message on that, or don't have one actually.
All right, and then of course improving public education. Again, the Democrats lead significantly, 58-23. You do have, by the way, both equally 11%, but I'm going to set those aside. I'm looking at the clear differentiation between Democrat, Republican, who say Democrats or Republicans. 58% Democrat will improve education over 23% Republican. I'm intrigued by that as well.
It's one of those education is thought of as being a Democratic issue because, you know, they want to give more money to teachers. They're always on the side of improving public education where, again, I think this is Republican messaging. You know, Republicans have not explained, especially at the state level, what is it there is their vision for reforming education in North Carolina?
Well, okay, and then we're going to, because there's one aspect of this poll that really surprises me. I'll get that into a moment. Creating jobs and growing economy, again, 58-21, 58% Democrat, 21% Republican. That's part of, I assume, the attitude that government actually creates jobs.
Some of that, and some of it is, you know, Obama is the savior. You know, we're expecting him to do great things.
All right. Again, we're our guest, Chris Hayes, and we're talking about a recent poll done by the Civitas Institute. NCCivitas.org is the website. Continuing on with the questions, bringing change to North Carolina government, Democrat 56, Republican 18, and I'm looking at that and trying to remember, Jim Black was Republican?
No, I think he was a Democrat, Lockwood.
Okay. Bringing change to North Carolina government, 56% Democrat, 18% Republican. Is this a message issue, or is this a matter of, this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be, and in fact, there really is no interest on the part of the folks that you polled. And by the way, you polled voters, right?
We polled people who either voted in 2004, 2006, or 2008. Most of the people in this poll, I believe over half of them, had voted in the 2008 election.
I am fascinated by the results of this poll. 56% Democrat, 18% Republican, and yet... Pat McCrory ran so well against a very long odds against Bev Perdue, and his whole program was changed. What is it about the Democrat agenda that indicates that we're going to see change in North Carolina government? Now, I will say there have been some inklings of changes as a result of recent actions on the part of Governor Perdue, but this poll was taken prior to any of those actions, or was it?
This poll was taken the week of the 19th through the 22nd. So she had been in office for, a little over a week, two weeks by this. So she had done the appointments for the Secretary of Transportation, some of those things she had started doing.
But 56% think that the Democrats will do more to bring change to North Carolina government?
I think there's a couple things here. Number one is voters don't know who's in charge. They don't know the party of who's controlling the General Assembly. I haven't ever tested it, but I would imagine Mark Bassnight and Joe Hackney's name ID statewide is probably in the single digits. You know, two of the most powerful men in the state, most powerful leaders, and the Senate leader and the Speaker of the House have very low name ID. I don't know if you remember, Lockwood, we did a poll last fall where we asked, you know, which party controls the North Carolina Senate? Which party controls the North Carolina House? Less than half the voters answered it correctly, that knew the Democrats were in charge. So I think some of that is coming through here. The other thing is people knew that George W. Bush was a Republican. If they didn't know who was in control of Congress, they didn't know who's in control of the General Assembly, probably didn't know what party Mike Easley belonged to, the governor, if they knew that Mike Easley was the governor. They knew George W. Bush was a Republican. They knew they didn't like it. They knew they wanted change.
Interesting. As we were talking about that, and the fact that the vast majority of the you said those that you polled last year, and I don't recall the poll right now, but you said that they did not realize what party was in charge of both the state house and the state senate?
That's right. I believe it was late summer, early fall we asked, and only 49% of the voters thought the Democrats were in control or knew that Democrats were in control of the North Carolina House. Only 40% said that the Democrats were in control of the North Carolina Senate. Then you had another 15% in both of them, 15-18%, who thought the Republicans were in control. So you had some people just dead wrong on it. So if you take out the people who guessed, you figure half of them guessed and got Republicans, half of them guessed and said Democrats. The real number is probably somewhere around 25-30% of the voters actually knew that the Democratic Party controlled the House and the Senate.
All right. NCCivitas.org is the website. Our guest, Chris Hayes. Chris, I'm not going to get into the issue of improving roads and highways, because the one that several items here that really fly in the face of both some of the statements we've just made relative to change in government, but also what the public is really expecting. State government faces a $2 billion budget shortfall. In order to balance the budget, should the General Assembly raise taxes or cut existing programs? The overwhelming decision, cut existing programs. Now, and then 16% raise taxes. The question I have is, does this in some way balance with some of their thoughts and observations regarding the current status of state government? And I go back to that issue of changing the changing face of government, that Democrats will do more to change government than Republicans. And yet they've been in office and, quite frankly, in power for the past, well, frankly, 20 years, easily. I'm not seeing a connection here.
It's the party that's been in control for the past 5 years and has grown the budget 8-9% a year for the past 5 years that have gotten us into this mess. They expect that same party, that same leadership, to be the ones who are going to now cut existing programs to fix the budget crisis. It's an interesting thing. Whenever you kind of start seeing trends when you do these polls every month, whenever you put something in as raise taxes versus do something else, more than likely, two-thirds of the people are going to come back against tax increases. There's a solid 65-70% of voters who say no to any tax increase.
Well, we understand that, but then in the process, the demand for services, there's a feeling that they should cut existing programs. We'll see how that goes, because in light of the current financial status, and by the way, we'll talk briefly here about what you anticipate in the legislative discussions that are coming up this week. I'm just fascinated by that 68% saying they should cut existing programs. Yet much of what I'm seeing from this report is business as usual. We've got a caller standing by. Greg, I've only got about a few moments here before I've got to take this break. Your question for our guest. Yes, sir.
My question for your guest is, how much does the news media in North Carolina tell us how much our leadership is doing? And do they make a point of saying the Democrats in Raleigh are, or do they make a point of saying Beth Perdue last night?
All right.
They don't describe it as Democrat, Republican.
Okay.
They describe it as first name basis.
All right, hold on. Let's find out. That's a good question, Chris, relative to the enlightenment of the voters. Do the voters get a clear understanding that this is a Democrat or this is a Republican, or are they just hearing names? And is it a failure on the part of the press, the news media, to adequately describe sort of who's in charge?
Luckily, I think Greg brings up a couple of really good points. And number one is the press doesn't really say Bev Perdue, a Democrat, Democrat governor, Mark Bassnight, the Democrat controlled, they don't put those party identifiers on there. They'll just say Joe Hackney, Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not doing their job educating the public there. And number two, we've seen declining media coverage of what's going on in the General Assembly. There may be maybe five newspapers statewide now who have Capitol correspondents.
Right.
There's no regular TV station down at the General Assembly anymore. None. No TV station statewide has a reporter down at the General Assembly reporting every day. So we've seen this decline of media scrutiny of what's going on in the General Assembly. In the meantime, they're cranking out more and more just wire reports of what's going on, which, in turn, less is getting in there because they're writing articles quicker and less articles and less identifiers like that. So it's a compounding problem. And that's kind of why Civitas exists. this is to try to get the message out to the voters of North Carolina about what's really going on in the General Assembly. And I encourage, as you've given out our website, nccivitas.org, your listeners log on and figure out, and we try to get to those stories that aren't being reported on what's going on in the General Assembly.
Chris Hayes is our guest, and we're going to be coming back with some more questions, and I want to get his opinion and sort of his prediction of what we might see this coming week in the North Carolina legislature. One of the subjects we will discuss here briefly is the state health insurance plan for the employees of the state as well as the retirees. $300 million shortfall. Stay tuned. You are listening to Viewpoints.
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $40 to $1,200.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
When my husband or kids have sore throats, they know I have the touch that can relieve their pain. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. Its targeted nozzle puts the strongest medicine you can get without a prescription right where you need it. Fast relief starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
Nothing soothes like a mother's touch and Chloraseptic.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
The evening is young, so I do want to remind you, one of our fine sponsors, Floyd's 1921 Restaurant. Yes, Advanced Water Systems as well. Floyd's 1921 Restaurant, and do want to remind you that we're coming around to Valentine's. If you're expecting to take your Valentine out for dinner, let me suggest that you call in advance. Make sure you've got reservations for that evening. 252 area code 727-1921. It's an easy number to remember. All you need to know is the prefix 727, and of course it's Floyd's 1921 Restaurant. Need I say anything more? No, but I will anyhow. Floyd's 1921 Restaurant, located 4th and Bridges Street in beautiful uptown Moorhead City. Fabulous meals, and of course, Chef Floyd is renowned for his that extra touch of Southern cuisine. Where would you find Southern fried green tomatoes? Have you ever had them? You need to, and you need to try it only at Floyd's, as well as a variety of great menu items. Floyd's 1921 Restaurant, lunch and dinner. The number, 727-1921. Reservations are not required. However, it would behoove you to call in advance and just make sure that they know you're on your way, how many are in your party, and when you anticipate arriving, and they'll be prepared for you. That's 727-1921. Should have that speed dial. Better yet, you should have it memorized. That along with our number here at the talk station. Floyd's 1921 Restaurant, located 4th and Bridges Street in beautiful uptown Moorhead City. Our guest, Chris Hayes, again with the Civitas Institute, and he is a legislative and policy analyst for the North Carolina legislature. He stays on top of many of the issues. A moment ago, Chris, Greg asked about the coverage on the part of the media. Greg then called back and said, wait a second, is it because also that the media is more inclined to be in favor of the Democrat policies? And with that, allows me to segue into this comment. Tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, my guest will be Bernie Goldberg, author of Slobbering Love Affair, starring Barack Obama, the true and pathetic story of torrid romance between Barack Obama and the mainstream media. What say you on that one, Chris?
You kind of hope that's not the case, but you have to start to wonder.
Okay. All right. Interesting. You know, you throw doubt into our minds. Thank you very much for not helping us out. $300 million shortfall in the health insurance policy for the state. It's got to be made up. Premiums are paid by the taxpayers, right?
The taxpayers pay for everything not covered by the premiums. The state employees do pay into the system a little bit with their premiums, but we cover the taxpayers cover the rest of the bills.
Lion's share. Copay is paid for by the in-state employee. Okay, $300 million shortfall. The question is, who should make up the gap? 50% say state employees. Dana Cope, is he going to be in favor of something like that?
I think Dana's going to have a strong objection to that. There's a lot of, they pretty much know they're not going to get a pay raise this year,
okay,
due to the tight budget constraints. So any attempts to try to shift some of the costs of the health program onto employees is going to be met with some resistance from the State Employees Association. But, you know, and we frame this question as kind of an either or, you know, and it's probably going to be a combination of the two. They're going to use some of the money from our savings and reserve account, that so-called rainy day fund that we've got $800 million sitting in. They're going to use some of that to shore up the system, but there will probably also be some premium increases and some, and possibly some benefit reductions as well for state employees.
Okay. Premium increases for the state taxpayer or premium increases for the state employee?
For the employee, okay. Actually right. Having to increase the co-pays, things like that.
All right. Looking at the fact that North Carolina is having this major shortfall, Governor Perdue has proposed, and you make mention of this in question number 22, has proposed funding future gubernatorial campaigns by raising private money for a foundation that will fund campaigns, and, of course, this whole aspect of publicly financed campaigning, which I think, quite frankly, is support of the and benefit and protects the incumbents, but that's another story for another time. 53% oppose it, 27% are in favor of it. Does this jive? Oh, wait a second, I forgot. The Democrats are going to bring us new government. I forgot. How does this jive with that issue of new government? Because, well, it's a new government plan. Do you think that this will settle well with either the legislature or, for that matter, with the public if the governor continues to push this issue?
Well, our initial poll says no, that most people are opposed to it. And a lot of it depends on how the governor sells this, because the way she promised voters during the campaign is, oh, we're going to get rid of all the negative campaigning. Uh-huh. She promised not to run any negative ads in the primary, and then went back on that promise as soon as she had defeated
really?
Richard Moore. You know, but you know, she wants to clean up campaigns, and it's a shame that they say bad things in campaigns, and money's such a problem.
No
so
question.
The way this foundation would work, you would have the same corporations and bigwigs who are funding political campaigns now would be paying into the system that's going to elect the next governor, but then those candidates for governor wouldn't be able to say anything negative about the person, about their opponent. So whoever the Republican challenge, if this system is put in place, whoever the Republican challenger is in 2012, if they went into this this public financing scheme, they wouldn't be able to say anything
right.
negative that a committee deemed as negative about Governor Perdue.
As I said, it's protection of the incumbent. All right, with about a minute to go, going back to that issue of coverage of government, and I've got to get a quick word in from you about what to expect this week, or otherwise I'll talk to you a little later on. But the question is, $1 million in order to purchase equipment needed to televise North Carolina General Assembly sessions live to the public like C-SPAN. 71% of the respondents said no.
I think the thing about this question is, when you put that price tag on it, when you say that you're going to spend $1 million, you know, the public is saying, look, we've seen bailouts, we've seen how much money is being spent by government. They really don't want to do it. We may ask this question again in our poll next month, and talking to Francis, I think we're going to, and just say, do you think the General Assembly session should be carried? And without putting that price tag in there, I bet you it's going to come back the other way. So people want the government service.
They just
don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. All right, Chris Hayes, our guest. Chris, as we wrap things up, what can we expect this week?
They're still organizing their session. We're still waiting for committee assignments to come down. A lot more bills will be filed this week, so that's where we're going to be on the lookout, is see which new bills are coming up, see where the direction's heading.
All right. With that said, let me just remind everyone, Chris will be with us every Friday afternoon about 5:30 thereabouts, and we're going to be talking about the what to expect relative to legislative actions. Chris, we'll be talking to you at the end of this week. We'll find out where we've been and what we might look for the next week as well. Chris, thanks for taking the time to be with us this evening.
Thanks, Lockwood, and I'll talk to you on Friday.
Definitely. Chris Hayes, again, of the Civitas Institute. Stay tuned. Another hour of Viewpoints right around the corner with Youth Points.